episode 1853, My Strength is My Story with Sheila Walsh, Praying Women.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at
a stop sign. Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us back again here at home, Sheila Walsh. I am so excited. You know what? There are some people that come into your life that are forever your friend and sister, and Sheila is just that. You want to stay tuned. It's all about praying women. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, friends and family of Sheila's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, Sheila and I had an absolutely delightful time. And this book is something special. She is something special. And I don't know about you, but have you ever really stopped long enough and thought about prayer? When was the last time you talked to God? Did you? Or do you only use it as a lifeline, the 911 call? God wants to be in relationship with you. You're not alone. God is listening. I am beyond excited for you to hear Sheila's heart. That is what I love so much about her. She doesn't sugarcoat anything. Oh no, it's all about knowing how to pray when you don't know what to say. Without further ado, let's welcome in Sheila Walsh, Praying Women. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We are welcoming back Sheila Walsh. She is the wife of 26 years this year to her fabulous husband, Barry, and the mum to their son, Christian. They have two pups, Tink and Maggie. Sheila is a powerful and authentic speaker who shares her heart on an international stage. She's a Bible teacher, communicator, and best-selling author with more than 5 million books sold, and I believe she's written like over 70 books. Crazy! She's the author of the award-winning Gigi, God's Little Princess, and In the Middle of Mess. Now, she's also the co-host of Life Today with James and Betty Robison, with an audience of over 100 million viewers daily. I'm exhausted. Well, in October of 2018, Sheila joined us here, right here on the podcast, for the launch of her book, It's Okay Not to Be Okay. And today, she brings her heart and her newest project that brought her to her knees, Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. Welcome back home, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
I am great, and I look a lot better on the book cover than I do right now.
You know what? I have to say, though, this, I don't know who did. I do know because I read your book, but your photographer, I mean, this shot is absolutely gorgeous.
Michelle, she's just one of the best, and she's such a sweet girl. She's a joy to work with because I hate photo shoots. I mean, I hate them like root canals. She's great.
Oh, well, it is an absolute beauty for sure. And you're a beautiful woman inside and out. And so I have to start by asking you, what brings you joy?
Oh, wow. You know, that has shifted in this season. What brings me joy is every morning, no matter where I am, like this morning I woke up here at home. Yesterday I was in Norfolk. 3-4 weeks ago, I was in Zambia working in water wells. When I wake up, the thing that brings me the greatest joy is I actually really get it, how much I'm loved by my Father. On the days when I've messed up and the days when I think I did well, but who knows? I have this, I mean, I'm 63 now. I think I'm 62, but I'm not. I'm 63.
You're young.
And yeah, just a mere chicken, just a little pup. But it really is that for somebody who spent so many years trying to win the affection of the Lord, to realize that he lavishes on me every single day brings me so much joy.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I know it's been not quite 2 years. It was October of 2018 we last chatted. What has happened? Catch us up on some things that has kept your heart smiling. I know there's something with Christian that recently happened a few months back.
Yeah, he graduated from Texas A&M and he's now gone into grad school at Houston Baptist. He's studying clinical psychology. Basically, I think he's trying to understand his parents. That's my own personal theory. But just to see, I mean, it's, you know, you have a little one, you know, you pray for them and you really don't know which path they'll take or what their skills, what their the things that will bring them joy, the things that will break their hearts. But to see him in this season in such a good place is just lovely.
Oh, well, I know your heart smiles because when I do catch your little things, whether it's on social media or on Life Today, I'm just like, oh, you can just see your heart smiling. And there's nothing better than being a mom.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And, you know, I remember when he was little, when he was maybe one, and then he learned to walk, and I was thinking, okay, this is my favorite. Okay, now, no, this is my favorite. But now he's 23. And like yesterday, I had a really busy day of filming. I was in Virginia Beach doing the 700 Club and three or four other shows. And just the fact that he knows the schedule and he FaceTimes me in between and just said, "You've got this, Mom. I'm praying for you." It's just awesome, you know?
You did good, Mom. You did good.
Well, I think God did good.
Amen to that, right? You had many times, I'm sure, that you have been on your knees praying for him, which leads us into your most recent project. And it's not recent because you've been working on this book. In fact, if I remember correctly, I have a post-it over here on my desk area that says that you had a special project you were working on, and it was this book at the time we last spoke.
Well done you. That's awesome. Yeah, honestly, even before It's Okay Not to Be Okay came out, for 2 years, I had been pouring myself into trying to understand prayer. Why do we struggle with prayer? You know, I would feel like, you know, I love to speak. I love to study God's word. But I've always felt like prayer was the weakest link in my spiritual life. And so I threw out a survey one day just on my Facebook page. And I said, okay, girls, just be as honest as you can. When I say the word prayer, what comes to mind? And I had like over 7,000 answers within an hour. And they were very honest. There were things like, I get bored. I get distracted. I feel like I just say the same things over and over again. Why pray if God already knows what he's going to do? And one thing that kept cropping up was heartbreaking for me is, you know, I prayed for my husband and he died. I prayed for my child to come back and I don't know where they are tonight. So it just made me think, okay, Lord, this is not just, oh, let's write a book. I need to dive deep. So I spent 2 years just researching what does God's word say. And I remember my dear, darling friend, Ruth Graham, before she went home to be with Jesus, said to me, when you're studying something, Sheila, don't just study what people are writing now. Go as far back as you can. So I would go way back to like Augustine and Athanasius. What did the early church fathers say about prayer? And I learned so much that was life-changing.
Well, share something regarding Augustine. I know you write about him in your book.
Yeah, I realized that, and I mean, having been a Christian for so many years, I don't know why I didn't realize that for centuries, the people of God have considered the book of Psalms a gift from God. It's like God gave us the Psalms to pray back to God. And he talks about the fact that in the Psalms, you will find every movement of your soul. If you're angry, you'll find a Psalm. If you're broken, you'll find a Psalm. If you're so happy you don't know which tail to wag first. Actually, he didn't say that, but that was my version. But you know, he said, you will find all the movements of your soul. So I began probably about a year and a half ago, this daily discipline of every day, I pray a psalm out loud, but I include my life in the psalm. Because that's why, you know, when you think, I pray for the same things over and over. Well, of course we will. We can pray for our husband, for our kids, for, you know, whatever. So like, take an example of a well-known one, like 23rd Psalm. You know, I'll pray, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, thank you that you're going to shepherd me through this day. Thank you that just as in Israel, the shepherd always went ahead of the sheep. Thank you that you've gone ahead of me. I'm not walking into anything where you've not already been. So just pausing through the Psalms and praying your life, but using the word of God has been revolutionary for me.
God does go before us. And in the very beginning of your book, like the very beginning, before you even get into chapter one, you talk about your Scottish grandfather. And you were like a wee little thing back then, just a wee little lass. And what was it? Share that story because that captivated me.
I felt so sorry for him. My grandfather was a good, honest, simple man. And his prayer before every meal was always for what we're about to receive. May the Lord make us truly thankful. But one Sunday in particular, there were some Baptist missionaries who were home on furlough and speaking at our church. And so my grandmother and grandfather, they had invited them and the family to come for lunch. So my grandmother, bless her heart, said to my grandfather, listen, could you kind of beef your prayer up a little bit? You know, just, I mean, these are very special guests. So try and just make it a little more holy. So we're all sitting around the table and my grandfather started to pray. And he started the way he always did. Or what we're about to receive, may the Lord. Because, and then my grandmother kicked him, like really kicked him under the table. And so he thought, I have to add something. So he said, because truly thankful and make me a good boy. And I mean, he's in his 70s. But it was just like, oh. But one of the things I picked up from that is there's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. You know, there's certain prayers that God will hear and certain prayers that he won't. And it took me years to understand that sometimes the most powerful prayer in the world is one word, Jesus, or help me.
Oh, that's powerful. And you write about that one word prayer, Jesus. What is it? What grabs you when you say his name?
There is power in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I remember when Christian was maybe 6 years old, his teacher invited me to come and speak to his class. And she wanted me to talk about prayer. And I'm thinking, wow, they're six, you know, that's kind of a big assignment. But that's what I shared with them that day. I said, you know, there might be situations where you're in the playground or somebody's bullying you. And before you can really do anything about it, just know that one of the most powerful prayers is simply the name of Jesus. When you're calling the name of Jesus, you're asking all of heaven for help. And afterwards, the teacher set them this assignment to write me little thank you notes. But this one little girl wrote, my mom and dad are not together anymore. But sometimes when they are, they get angry. And now I know I can go to my bedroom and I can just pray the name Jesus. And that touched me so deeply, you know, of understanding that, in fact, it won't come out till later, another couple of months. But I've written a book called Praying Girls because I wanted to put something in the hands of tweens and teens, you know, of younger girls understanding, listen, you are never alone. God is listening.
God is listening. And I think, though, Sheila, we feel abandoned here. You know, we are sinners of this world and we fall short. We walk around every day and we just don't feel like we add up. And we feel like, gosh, I've been asking God all the time for the same things and he doesn't deliver. For those who are praying those perfection prayers of give me results, man, come on, I need you. What would you tell that woman listening?
First of all, I would tell you that there's never been a prayer you prayed that God did not hear and receive. In fact, in the revelation given to John, we learn a couple of things about prayer, that prayer is God's chosen fragrance in heaven. Even the psalmist talks about it, great bowls of prayer. And like when I come home, if I've been on a trip, there's a candle that I love. And my husband always lights that candle before I come home. So that the minute I walk through the door, it's like, oh, that's that smell. But that's the way it is in heaven. You know, that the prayers you pray, they have fragranced heaven. What I learned is prayer is not so much always about me getting the answer I want. What I believe that we want that's deeper than that, that we don't even sometimes understand, is the presence of God. Like a few months ago, I got back from a trip and I just had this terrible headache and I never really get headaches. And it got worse and worse. And I felt like I had an iron band around my head. So Barry took me to a drop-in clinic and the doctor there asked me a question that I now know to be a pivotal question. Is this the worst headache you've ever had? And I said, yeah. And he said, is there any history of aneurysm in your family? And I said, yeah, my dad, when he was 34, I mean, the atmosphere in the room shifted. Before I knew it, I was being rushed to the emergency room. And as the consultant is putting me in this CAT scan or MRI, I can't remember which one it was. And he said, you know, you have to lay there. You can't move for 45 minutes and you're going to be in there alone. And I remember thinking, dude, you are so wrong. I am not going to be in there alone. And I remember as I was in that place and just all the noise and the whirring, being so aware of the presence of Christ. Because in years, I mean, I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. I'm now 63. That's 52 years of the faithfulness of God. And I remember just saying, Lord, you are in here with me. And what I long for more than an answer is your presence. Because an answer gives us information, but his presence changes everything. It turned out that there was nothing significant. I was just probably overworking a little bit. But what I wanted people to know is I had the presence and peace of Christ in the not knowing place.
Mm. Yeah, that not knowing, that's a hard place to sit. I mean, I know I personally wrestle with it, that waiting, that be still. When you mentioned presence, there's, and it just came out today, Shannon Daugherty, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, I just heard.
Both now, you know, Rush, yeah. Cancer, Shannon, cancer, that big C yeah. word.
I know.
There's pain in everybody's mm-hmm. everyday. And whether it's pain because it's a medical reason or pain because of a relationship reason, what do you do when, you know, I mean, you say this one word, Jesus, but mm-hmm. I can hear women, and I've spoken to women, I know you have too, that they're like, I don't know what to say. I'm hurting so bad that I'm speechless. I'm wordless.
Mm-hmm. That is so, so true. And you know, one of the greatest lessons I've learned is to process my pain in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when we're deeply in pain, it's like it's almost like, you know, if you're not going to answer me right now, then I'll talk to you later. But I think there's nothing more amazing to me in that Christ, the Lamb of God, allowed you and me to see what it looked like when he was in the greatest agony of his life. I always find that when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, I honestly find it hard. When I was doing the audiobook of this and I came to the place where I had to read that passage, I had to ask the engineer to stop down for a bit because it's so profoundly personal and intimate. And I think Christ showed us what to do when you get news like that. And the way that Christ prays in the garden, I mean, that whole, Luke, the doctor, gives us that one little detail that the others don't think is significant, but he tells us that Christ sweat drops of blood. And it's a condition that still exists. It's called hematohidrosis. It's when you're so much agony that you're literally from your glands and from your pores, you're sweating blood, which significantly actually makes your skin more tender. So the crucifixion would be even more painful. But Jesus showed us when you're in that place, you don't pretend to be okay. I mean, Christ poured his heart out. He fell on the ground and he begged his Father, if there's any other way. And here's what I think. When you pour out your pain and your anger and your words and your questions, you've actually made space for the grace of God to move in. Because Jesus went from that place to a place of being able to pray, but Father, and it's the only time in Scripture that Jesus uses that word, Abba. It's only three times in the New Testament. Paul uses it twice in the prison epistles. Jesus only uses it once when he's in agony. He's literally saying, Dad, if there's any way. But then he's able to move to that place of saying, but not my will, your will be done. Christ has left us a road mark for the worst moments in life.
Wow. I just want to sit here with that for a moment, Sheila. Some people, and we can get into this in a couple minutes, but there seems to be this other, you know, how do I pray? I don't have the right words, but I have to pray at a certain place. We're sitting here talking over Skype on a podcast. I believe that you can even pray on a podcast and someone can be touched, that God hears that. We've got to call our women together, our praying women. Would you pray for those women out there listening today?
Of course. Oh, Father God, you know us so well. I mean, you've read every word of our story. And you know the seasons when it looks like the page is blank and we have no answers and we don't understand. And you know the seasons when you turn a page and you can't even read the words because they're soaked with tears. And Lord, I want to ask right now for my sisters, what we long for, Lord, honestly, more than answers, is you. I mean, I think of when the disciples were in that upper room after you've been crucified and they're terrified. They watched you get executed and they think they're probably next. And you walk into the room and you just say, peace, be still. Now, nothing outside the doors had changed. But because you're there, everything changed. So that's what I ask right now for my sisters. I ask that wherever they are, that they would hear you say to them, peace, I'm here, be still. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Oh, you know, it just really gets me, Sheila, because there are women out there hurting. And if a woman's hurting, you know, there's friends and family hurting, right? Because us women, we are nurturers. And if we are carrying that pain, that heartbreak, that doubt, that fear, whatever it is that's weighing heavy on our shoulders, we're tired of carrying that weight. I also know that people want that recipe. You know, they're like, okay, I want the results, but because I want this beautiful, tall, gorgeous, fluffy cake, right? So give me the recipe. How can I get there? What would you tell that woman who's saying, I don't know, I pray God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for this food, amen, whatever it is, or like your grandfather, right? I'm a good boy. But what would you tell that woman as to where to start?
When I was 18, I had 8 weeks before I started seminary. So I decided that I would volunteer in a senior center in our town. And it was just a place where seniors could come from like 9 to 5 in the afternoon and have lunch and hang together, play games. And so there was one gentleman that I could not reach. He wouldn't come to lunch at the table. So I would always have to take his lunch to him in a tray. He would sit with his back against the wall. And I'd prayed for him and prayed for him. But then I thought, one day, I'm just going to talk to him. So I sat down beside him and I said to him, hey, my name is Sheila. I live in this little town, because this was in my little fishing town on the west coast of Scotland. And I said, but do you know what? One day I'm going to go to America. Well, his face lit up like he just won the lottery. And he turned to me and he said, my name is George. I'm from America. And if you ever get to Poughkeepsie, would you tell them George said hi? And I said, sure. No idea what Poughkeepsie was. But from that point on, George and I became just the best friends. And he would come to the lunch table on two conditions. One, that I served him last, and two, that I sat beside him. And all that summer, we just became just the best friends. And every single morning when I would get there, even if my bus was 5 minutes late, the minute I walked through the doors, he would call out, she came! And I think that's where we start with God. I think when you just simply sit in his presence and just acknowledge, I'm here. I think all of heaven calls out, she came. God longs for our, he's not looking for your perfection. He just wants your presence. He just wants us to show up.
He wants us to show up. I know you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. I want to give him a highlight, Sheila. Your book has 10 chapters. There's a lot of awesome stuff. In fact, I was teasing with you before we actually started the official interview that I have two of them, because this is my working copy so I can mess it up, but this is my beautiful coffee table copy so I can share, and I want other women when they come into my house to pick it up. But what's cool of how you really set this up is you don't have to read it in order. I love that. And then at the end of each chapter, like here I have it marked along with also a couple other notes, it's prayer reminders and a prayer to remind you that God is waiting for you. So even if you don't know what to pray, there's a prayer right here. You can start with that. What a beautiful, it's like a little manual that, because I know growing up for me, it was a challenge. You know, it's like, what do I say? And you know, where do I start? How do I get to God? Like, how do I climb the ladder to get to God? What do you say when you feel like you have nothing to say?
You know what I think is amazing? You know, it's like one of the projects Christian had to do in school was he had to do a to scale model of the tabernacle of the Lord, which he reminded to tell his dad and I 2 days before it was due. And it was so fascinating studying. But one of the things that was interesting was, you know, the veil that we read about that separated, you know, the Holy of Holies, where the priest could only go one day a year on the Day of Atonement. And that's where the glory of God rested, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And when I think of veil, I think of like a wedding veil, but it wasn't. It was the thickness of a man's hand. It was a thick, thick veil. And that was our access to God back then. The high priest one day a year could go in and pray for the people. But the fact that Christ, at that moment when he called out, "It is finished," and we read that the veil was torn in two from top to bottom, only God could have done it. It's as if God tore the veil and said, "Come on in," that we don't need. We have a high priest now in Jesus, but we don't. There's no distance now. It's not like, how do we get to God? We couldn't get to God, so God came to us. And so I think I've moved prayer completely off my to-do list. And it's my who I am list. From the moment I wake up to, it's like, it's impacted my relationship with my husband and my son. You know, like every marriage, you know, sometimes my husband drives me bonkers, as I know I drive him bonkers. Like a year ago, maybe it was longer than that, I said to him, you know, I think I might go back to Weight Watchers. I think I need to lose about 5 pounds. And he said, "Oh, is that all?" Now, 4 or 5 years ago, I would have smacked him with a dead fish. But now I said, "Lord, did you hear that?" And I feel like the Lord said, "Yeah, bless his heart." Or my son, you know, it's like, he said, "Mom, it's great. I'm going to be certified as a deep sea scuba diver." And I'm like, "Yay." And I'm like, "Lord, I can't be there." And he said, no, but I can. So I think prayer has impacted every single area. There's nothing in your life, and anybody who's listening in, there's nothing that God doesn't know about, care about, and will be there.
I love that. Such great reminders. You know, practical application. People are like, "You know what, Sheila? You've been in that world. You know what it's like. You've been to seminary. You know the Bible better than I know the Bible. You could come up with anything to say, right?" What does prayer look like, though, in your everyday life? Like, do you have a special room, or do you start a certain way?
I couldn't have a special room because I'm never in the same place. You know, it's like in a couple months, I'm going to be in Angola, Africa, where we set up feeding programs in villages where, I mean, it's heartbreaking. I have to always go, first of all, to the malnutrition clinics. And I remember seeing this little one who I guess to be about 5 or 6 months old. I discovered that she was 3. While I was there, one of the children did not make it. And then I go into these villages, and our commitment at Life Today is to put as many feeding programs in villages as we can. But when I'm there, there's no hotel there. You know, we're driving for hundreds of miles in the middle of nowhere. I have a little pup tent, you know, and your toilet is a shovel. So, I mean, I don't have a place. Here's what I discovered. Barry and I tried to make our under the stairs closet into a prayer room, which works so well for some people, and it didn't work for us, because when you close the door, the lights go off and the dogs bark. And I tried putting candles in there, and I set fire to my streams in the desert. It was a disaster. What Jesus said to me, "Sheila, you don't need a holy place. Because of me, you are the holy place." That's the thing. Every single person listening, when you have said yes to Jesus, whether you think you're a great Christian or a terrible Christian, whether you feel you know the Bible or you couldn't quote a verse, if you've said yes to Jesus, you are the holy place.
That's so important, because I'm kind of weird. I pray in the grocery store.
Me too.
I'm sitting here picking out lettuce, and I'm like, or cucumbers or asparagus. And I'm like, "Lord, I'm having this conversation." Sometimes I think it comes out loud. And I'm sure people walk around me going, "This woman's crazy." But, you know, okay, well, it's good to know that I'm not totally crazy by myself. We're crazy together.
But that's beautiful. Don't you think the Lord loves that? Don't you think he loves that you include him in every moment of your day? And I just, if my prayer is, whether women buy this book or not, whether they borrow it from the library or not, is at the end, you would be more in love with Jesus. But more than that, you'd be so aware of how in love with you he is. Because I did not want to write a, "Here's 10 steps to be a better praying woman." I wanted just to open doors and say, "Hey, if you're struggling with this, walk through this door and let's look at that together." This is not a how to be a better Christian book. It's like, look how much you are loved by God.
God does love us. And I think we're the ones who set boundaries on God's love.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's how we've experienced love. You know, because my father committed suicide and because he seemed to hate me before he died, even though it was his brain aneurysm, that's how I thought about God. You know, I could lose your love too. So I'm going to get it all right. That's why I wrote It's Okay Not to Be Okay. Because when I finally collapsed in the hospital, I had no words left. I had no great prayers left. The only one prayer I was able to pray, and I prayed it not in faith, in desperation, was just help me. It was the only words I had left. And I discovered it was kind of what God had been waiting for. Kind of like, I'm right here. And I've always been right here.
Yeah, we need to kick down our own boundaries. Kick down that picket fence that some of us have, a 9-foot, 12-foot fence that, you know, says, Lord, this is the only place that you can come. Or, you know, you talk about the prayer of desperation. Sometimes we put prayer in our closet and we get it out like just in the season of help me, and that's all. You really talk about how to integrate prayer into our daily life.
You know, that was really sparked for me when I read this thing that Corrie ten Boom wrote. She posed this question and she said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? And I thought about that for a while. Like, is prayer the thing that absolutely directs everything in my life? Or is it what I turn to when nothing else has worked? And just that one, I mean, I thank God for all the godly women who've gone before us and just left us these little nuggets, because that really changed everything. So, I mean, I probably shared this with you last time, but it's still every morning when I wake up, before I make my coffee, before I let the dogs out, or even as I'm walking downstairs, Psalm 143:8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have placed my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. And that's just my way of starting the day by saying, you know, Lord, I'm going to fail today, but you won't fail. And I want you to open the right doors and close the wrong ones.
Amen. We need those doors open and closed, because that's his way of saying, I'm directing your path. Trust me, not in your understanding, but in my understanding. Well, in reading your book, I know there's a lot that happens in today. There's a lot of CRAP. There's a lot of scary things that happen in our world. And I drop off my boys at school. I still have 2 in high school. So I have 5 children total. 1 got married, actually, in Woo-hoo! October. Woo! So I've got 1 then. I got 4 more left to go. But I drop them off at school. And as I'm leaving school, I pray not only over my boys for God to be with them, a hedge of protection around their heart, because sometimes they learn things that I really don't want them learning.
Yeah.
But I also pray for the protection of the school and every student in there, because things happen, right? We've got bad things out there. When we feel like the spiritual realm is against us, how do you pray against those attacks?
You know, it's such a great question. From the minute that Christian was a little boy, I began this habit of every day when I folded the laundry, I tucked prayers in. You know, if it was a little hat, a little bonnet, I prayed for protection over his mind. If I was folding his little sweater or a little onesie, I prayed God's protection over his heart. And in each season, it's changed. Like when he learned to drive, when he was 16, I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning because he was driving to school for the first time by himself. And I took a bottle of Crisco downstairs and I anointed the tires of his car. And when he went to college and he moved in, Barry and I went up there, we anointed every doorpost and prayed for God's protection to keep people out and to allow the right people in. In fact, when sometimes he wouldn't want to have school meals because they weren't that great. So sometimes I would make his lunch. And I would even anoint a little bit on his lunch and pray for his conversation over lunch. And I remember one day he came back and said, Mom, my lid's all sticky. What did you do? And I'm like, oh, you know, who knows? But just all of those prayers matter. God hears every one of those prayers. And just find the simplest ways and even be honest with your kids. If you're at dinner and your kid's having a tantrum and there's mac and cheese in the ceiling, even to just say, Lord, we're having a bit of a hard time right now. Would you help us? Shows our children that prayers is natural. Talking to God is as natural as talking to them.
It is. In fact, today, my senior in high school, I walk in and he's on the floor. I'm like, what happened? He's like, nothing. I'm like, spilt milk, huh? And immediately I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not going to get upset because you know how milk is. Milk does not like to come off once when it's dried. He's like, I'm cleaning it up. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Just back away. You got this. Oh, it doesn't matter what their age is. I don't know what it is.
I know.
Well, I'm sure as you were walking through this, with not that you haven't walked it in your whole Christian life and your relationship with Christ, but you really dug in deep. Like you were saying, you know, you went back, just not what the current people were saying and the current preachers and teachers. You went all the way back as far as you could. Where did God begin to open up a door and say, hey, Sheila, this is where I need to be working with you a little bit more?
Oh, wow. That's great. One of my biggest areas of weakness is that I'm a bit of a loner. You know, I'm kind of a, like my husband's an extrovert. He gets energized by being around people. I'm kind of an introvert and I get energized by being alone. And a couple of years ago, as I started to work on this prayer book, I met up with four other women in Washington and discovered they had the same commitment and same passion. So we made this commitment that we would once a week we'd jump on a video call together and just pray for one another. Honestly, sometimes like 3 weeks ago, you know, I have a diagnosis of severe clinical depression. I still take medication and I was just having a bad day where I just didn't want to get on. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know what, I'm just skipping it. And then two of them text me like, yo, hey, where are you? And I'm like, I don't feel so good. And it was like, Sheila, get on the call. And so I jump on the call and they see my face and they just immediately began to pray over me. And I cannot tell you the difference that has made, because sometimes I'm just the kind of person that would like to just hide under the covers or just, you know, not be around people. But then last week, it was one of the other girls. And the minute we got on, I looked to her face and I'm like, what's happening? And her husband's cancer's back. And there's something, we so need each other. You know, we're not designed to do this journey by ourselves. And I don't know if any of your listeners could do that, but we do it through Zoom and I don't know how to do it. They just send me a link and I click on the link. I'm clueless. But there's something about a sister seeing one another's faces and praying for each other that it's become such a gift to my life.
Mm. Such a gift. And we need to do more of that, rallying around each other in our everyday, because I think, you know, we have this whole idea that, oh, I'm just going to church, everything's fine on Sunday. But what happens on the other 6.5 days of the week? Or maybe if you end up doing, you know, mid-service week, okay, great, I'm looking at sort of there for a couple hours, I can look good, you know, put on my Southern best and, you know, extra mascara to hide, you know, what you're really feeling deep inside. We're talking about prayer. I know for me, and I see it on social media all the time, and people say, you know, hey, I want to pray for you. My prayer list, and I do it a really weird way. So I want to ask you, how do you organize who you're praying for or what you're praying for?
That's a really good question. And I do it a couple of ways. Sometimes like on a Sunday evening or a Monday evening, I'll often jump on Facebook Live and just, you know, talk about something, share a passage of scripture, and then pray. Now, I will get like a ton of comments from people saying, my husband's this. For that, I will specifically take time out. In fact, my husband joins me and we will just go down that list and we will pray for each one of those. But then I have a little book, I have it right here. And in that are the people I've committed to pray for, not one time, but for the long haul. You know, and obviously my family are in there. A couple of our best friends, the husband has a brain tumor. And that I find time each day to just pray through that list. But also at the back of that book, I've started this. In fact, Barry started it before I did, in his own book, but of gratitude, of what I'm grateful for. And that really helps me, because on days when, you know, when I'm exhausted or, you know, my luggage got lost, it's like I flew into the 700 Club. And I mean, it's a television program and my makeup didn't show up. And I'm like, oh, great. And so, but you know, in those moments when I want to say, no, I start and I write down one or two things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that what matters is that the Holy Spirit will be there. What matters, and it turns up somebody there. I mean, they've got a makeup artist and she took care of me and it was fine. But, and obviously that's not something that everybody's going to go, but just to write down that even in the tough times, to write down a couple of things that you're grateful for, because there's something about that that's declaring, you know what, God, I don't like this right now, but you are good and you are God and you are on the throne.
Mm, amen. And you are not alone. God is listening. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. I cannot wait. And in fact, I want to encourage all those women out there, pick up one for your girlfriend for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's sweet.
Would be so awesome to say you were loved and I want you to know that I'm coming beside you and here, this is a gift for you. We're praying women and we're going to do it together. I just think that's such a beautiful gift for, you know, I've seen it on like social media, Galentine's Day, like gal instead of Valentine's Day, it's Galentine's Day. Anyway, for whatever it is, I'm just saying, buy it for your girlfriends because it's going to move mountains. I know it is. And I'm so excited for you, Sheila. People are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
My website is just SheilaWalsh.com. Facebook is Sheila Walsh Connects. Instagram, I'm Sheila Walsh One. But let me tell you one thing you might enjoy. We're these five women that we pray for each other. We're going to have an event on the day after Valentine's on February the 15th. And you just have to go to shelovesoutloud.org. And what we're doing is gathering a million women across America to pray together. Now, we'll be in the studio at Life, but churches have signed up. Women have signed up just to do it in their own home. A woman in a wheelchair said, I'm signed up with my computer. And it's just going to be 4 hours where some of my friends like Priscilla Shire or Carol Kent, different people will be in the studio and we're just going to pray for one another. So if you want to join us on that day, it would be lovely.
Oh, that would be awesome. And we will have all that information in the show notes on your show page, on the podcast page here at Create Your Now. Oh, we're definitely going to promote this, Sheila, because we need to become praying women together. Come on, women can move mountains. I mean, I love men, but come on, women, step it up.
You know, the interesting thing is, just as a kind of bizarre thing, Bono once showed up. I ended in Dallas for something, for Bono from U2. I ended up having coffee with him. And then he came to an event that he didn't. He sent me a little video. And in it, he said, you know, if God's daughters began to understand the power of prayer, it would change the world. And I believe that.
Amen. Most definitely. Well, before I let you go, the series is called My Strength is My Story. Where has prayer been a strength in your story?
At the weakest. It's what I perceive to be the most broken place in my story. Prayer became the greatest resource. When I had nothing left, I thought commended me to God, nothing good to say. You know, I wasn't speaking anywhere. I wasn't doing anything. I just felt I was completely broken. Prayer became my greatest comfort because it wasn't words that I threw up to God. It was just this companionship with God that shifted everything inside me.
Well, I so look forward to see how God is going to take these 10 little chapters and bless all of those hands and eyes that read it. Many blessings, Sheila.
Love you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.